PTC is go.
Pegasus is go.
PTC is go.
Copy, S is go.
Houston flight is go.
Polycom.
STM is go.
Safety comp is go.
STU is go.
LRD is go.
SRO is go.
CDI is go.
Launch director NTD, our launch team is ready to proceed at this time.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Site Patriots has a message for liberals and the mainstream media.
You can't handle the truth.
So, buckle up, snowflakes, because we're about to deliver the politically direct best in conservative commentary, news, and investigative reports. We're telling the truth, and we're not going to stop. Okay, liberals, back under the bridge with the rest of your fellow trolls, and oh yeah, thanks for listening to Right Side Patriots.
They are special, special people
on RSPRadio1.com. Welcome to Right Side Patriots on RSPRadio1.com. Craig Andreessen at the National Patriot and Diane Sorey at the Patriot Factor. Friday night edition of the show. Final days of July already. Diane, how are you?
Okay, and how are you as you will wait to find out if you're going to get a tornado or not?
Well, you know what? It's weird. It's a weird day today. We want to, we here in Nebraska would like to thank Canada for sending the smoke of their forest fire down to us.
Don't complain. We had the Sahara dust laying over us for days.
Well, you know, I mean, this all started, the smokiness started. It's not just Nebraska, by the way, folks. There's, you know, both Dakotas are completely smoked in. Parts of Iowa are smoked in from this. Parts of Wyoming are smoked in from this. Parts of Colorado, parts of Kansas are smoked in from this. All coming from this giant wildfire up in Manitoba, Canada. And it's wreaking havoc with people's sinuses and allergies and that kind of thing. Sure. You know, sure. I suspect the way it looks in Nebraska right now, because of the smoke from Canada, is probably visually what it looks like almost every day in Colorado since they okayed recreational pot.
Ah, that could be. Good
point. You know? But it's weird because you can't see the sky. It's smoky here, so you can't really see the sky, but we are in a watch or a warning for a possible supercell storm that could spawn a big tornado. In fact, a lot of people might recognize the name of storm chaser Reed Timmerman. Okay, he's often on Fox News. He's been a storm chaser for, I want to say, a good 20 years. And he actually posted up today about this supercell that looks like it's going to develop right up here in north central Nebraska, right where I'm sitting. So we'll see.
Well, we warn people, if we suddenly go down, you know, Craig might not be here anymore.
I might be gone. I might be on my way to Oz.
Well, hopefully that won't be the case.
You know, hopefully, but you know, if that does happen, you'll want to put a special note on the podcast. Because that's always good for radio, you know. If somebody
it'll be your memorial. It's not going to happen, so don't worry.
Yeah, you know, somebody gets sucked up by a tornado, and that's the end of them. Live on the air,
right?
You know, that's that makes for good radio. So
it's not going to happen.
Well, we hope not. We hope, no. Especially because we have our town picnic tomorrow night. So
You know,
that's always a big deal. You know, in a town of 63 people, we always get about 100 to 110 people that show up for that.
The freeloaders come in.
Well, people that live, you know, on the ranches.
I'm joking.
And there's a lot of people that that used to live here and have moved away, and they come back every year for this.
Oh, that's nice.
You know, and then there's a street dance after the picnic and everything. So it's a big deal, and it's always a lot of fun. The food's great. Everybody brings stuff, and it's a good time. It's a lot of fun.
Hmm.
So we're hoping that the tornado doesn't destroy that. You know.
Well, I hope you don't get the tornado at all.
I hope we don't either. We could use some rain, maybe the rain to knock some of the smoke out of the sky, you know, but we could do without the tornadic activities. Sure. Even though, you know, Reed Timmerman does a great job as a storm chaser, you know, and everything.
Let him chase it somewhere else.
Yeah, let it, and folks, I don't want to wish this on anybody, but, you know, if he has to chase something tonight, let it be Kansas or Oklahoma or Texas or, you know, just not Wood Lake. That's all yeah. I'm saying. Folks, we got an interesting show for you tonight, 1 hour version, because we're on the summer clock. And we have chosen some topics that are just all over the news. And a little bit later in the show, we're going to be talking about that January 6th commission that's doing that goofy investigation. We'll also be talking about the woke military. But we're going to start things off by talking about one of Diane's all-time favorite subjects, COVID-19.
Oh, dear God. It seems that's all we're hearing about is COVID, COVID, COVID. And it's at the point, Craig, where really, it's nothing but a fear-mongering lead-up to 2022. You know there's going to be a new variant that summer.
There's going to be new variants.
Set your clock by it.
Oh, my God. There's going to be new variants of this COVID. I mean, they're coming up with variants faster than Windows is coming up with updates.
Nothing is that fast.
Well, you know, this is just crazy. And the double talk and the gobbledygook coming out of Washington, D.C. and the CDC and the liberals on the left, this is crazy stuff.
It is very crazy stuff. But you want to know something? The CDC is probably the worst, in my opinion, because recently, the CDC director, Rochelle Walensky, she actually said this, folks. These vaccines operate really well in protecting us from severe disease and death. But the big concern is that the next variant that might emerge, just a few mutations potentially away, could potentially evade our vaccines, end quote. So, you know, to that I say that next variant will probably start showing up in the summer before the 2022 elections. But I also say, so all the vaccines currently on the market will be rendered useless.
Well, if you really want to get right down to brass tacks, they're pretty useless right now.
True.
Now, you know, the CDC, everybody knows you can't trust them. Okay, they're changing their tune every 5 minutes. All right, mm-hmm. But I'm going to give you some CDC numbers. One specific CDC number. Okay, and this pretty much tells you what you need to know here. Right, a CDC study is now showing that 74% of the people infected in Massachusetts are fully vaccinated people.
Absolutely. They call it, they're trying to pass it off as what's called breakthrough cases. What is happening and what people are not realizing is you're being vaccinated against the original COVID-19. Now they're facing the Delta. What they're coming down with, what Craig's talking about, is the Delta variation of it. What one vaccine works for, another will not. Just like last year's flu shot probably will not work against this year's flu. And people don't understand the medicine behind this. They think that a vaccine is going to protect them from all of COVID. It's not.
Yeah, I don't think it's even really working as well as they initially told us it was going to work on regular COVID. Forget the Delta for a minute.
Right. You know? It's not working as well as they think at all. I personally know people that have been fully vaccinated that came down with COVID.
Well, look, we're living in very interesting and unique times here medically, Diane, mm-hmm. and you should know this and you should appreciate this. For the first time in all of human history, we can actually transmit a disease that we don't have to people who are immunized against it.
Right.
That is basically what the CDC is telling us right now.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I've said it 100 times. I'm going to say it again. We don't need a vaccine. We need an antidote. Plain and simple. COVID is a genetically engineered virus that naturally did occur in nature, but because it was engineered, it wasn't engineered to help people. It was an engineered virus for China to use as a bioweapon. Did they release it deliberately or did it escape too soon, you know, inadvertently? That I really don't know. But I do know that the vaccines, they work to some degree, but a true vaccine works, you know, like the polio vaccine or the diphtheria vaccine or the malaria vaccines. They work more over, you know, over the board.
Right.
But this COVID is not doing that. This vaccine is not doing that. There are too many breakthrough cases happening, and there are too many side effects and even deaths from this vaccine that you don't see in any of our other vaccines.
Well, you know, I mean, but hurry up and get yourself vaccinated. That's what the CDC and the liberals are telling you. You know, everybody's got to get vaccinated. And, you know, this new mask guideline that the mm-hmm. CDC came out with a day or two ago, that is based on a wild study. Okay.
Oh.
Now, let me explain to folks how they came, why they came up with this, okay? Because now, and you hear this all over the news now, you know, if you're indoors, you got to mask up again. And, you know, federal agencies are requiring federal employees to wear masks, and businesses are requiring you to wear masks again, right? Well, this is all based on a single study that was done, and the study itself failed peer review, and the study came out of India, and it was talking about a vaccine that they're using in India that's not even available in the U.S.
Right.
That is what they based the mask mandate on.
Well, what you're having is one of the filthiest countries in the world mandating how we are going to behave here. That's what's, you know, unbelievable. Here it is. Yes, India is a modern country, but it's also got some of the worst slums and filth in the world.
Right.
And I don't mean that. You know, anything against India, but it's just a fact.
It just is what it is.
It is what it is. And here, this is what they're basing the new guidelines, a study from a country that's filthy, whose vaccine we are not using, whose people are dying by the thousands daily, even when they're wearing masks.
Yes, and the study they based this on failed peer review.
Correct.
Okay, so it's a bogus study about a vaccine that is not available in the U.S. And it, I mean, this is insanity. It tells you, really, folks, it tells you just how desperate the liberals in this country are to find a reason to make people wear a mask again. They could not find any legitimate study anywhere in the world, much less here in the United States. Mm-hmm. But they couldn't find a legitimate study anywhere in the world that takes into account a vaccine that we're using in the United States to base remasking on. They had to use a bogus study out of India regarding a vaccine we don't have in this country to try and force people to mask up.
Well, there's two reasons for it, besides the 2020 election, which is very tenuous for the Democrats at best right now because people are mad. But there is two possible reasons for this. Get the kids to wear masks or keep the schools closed. Okay, they don't want the kids going back to school, folks. Because if the kids go back to school, the government loses control.
Right.
And all this is about control. Control of the masses.
Diane, that's a really good point. And how much you want to bet sometime over the next month, because schools nationwide will begin to supposedly go back into operation in mid to late August, right?
Right. We start August 18th, and our kids do not have to wear masks.
Okay. How much you want to bet in the next couple of weeks, you'll find teachers' unions coming out and saying, we're not sending our teachers back into the schools.
Yeah. Yeah. They don't care about the kids. Remember, the teachers still collect a certain amount of pay, whether they teach or not, if it's shut down by the government.
Right.
You know, the unions have seen to that. They don't care about the kids. They don't care about the parents who, okay, if they have to stay home with their kids, they can't go to work. So they'll stay on the government dole. The government has more control over you.
Precisely.
It's a vicious cycle here, folks.
Well, and the tail's wagging the dog, because the unions are going to dictate to the Biden administration via the Obama regime what's going to happen. This isn't going to be based on science. It's going to be based on a bunch of candy-ass pansy teachers who simply don't want to go back to school.
Right. They'd rather, you know, they make more money getting their pay.
Yep.
You know, they can say they get it virtually because they're teaching virtually. But you know what? What everybody is forgetting about masks, and this is critical, this is medical. The human body takes in oxygen and we breathe out carbon dioxide. If you have a mask on, that carbon dioxide is basically staying right at your face and you're breathing that carbon dioxide back into your own body. Carbon dioxide is meant to be exhaled, not inhaled. Number two, it has been proven scientifically E. coli and other little nasties live on the insides of these masks. Number three, the COVID virus is so tiny, millions and millions of them can fit on half the head of a pin. Okay, the only masks that are really viable against COVID are the N95 masks. All the others, their fibers are bigger than you visually see. Those little COVIDs can get right through there if they wanted to.
And they
the
do
masks
want to.
Are more, let's say, they're a psychological safety feature. You feel like you're doing something by wearing a mask. But actually, you're making yourself sick by breathing in carbon dioxide all day from not breathing in fresh air. And with the E. coli's proven to live on it from all the carbon dioxide, etc., hey, we got a real germ fest going.
Well, and this is going to come into play when it comes to the schools and whether or not they're going to have in-person learning coming up this school year, because what they're going to say is, well, look, if the kids are going to come back to school, they're going to have to wear a mask all day. Now, if the kids stay home, then it's up to the parents whether they wear a mask in the house or not, you know?
Right.
And so that's going to come into play, and the teachers' unions are going to try and use that as a weapon to keep the schools closed again.
Yes. And I don't know if the governors can overrule the feds in this case, or if the feds will be overruling the governors. And that'll be really interesting, because we know in Florida, in Texas, they're not buying any of this crap. This mask stuff, this mandated stuff, anything.
No, but here's the way this is going to play out. And trust me on this, folks. You know, governors, you know, your governor, my governor, South Dakota's governor, Texas's governor, you know, they're all saying we will not mandate masks in schools. Okay, that's all well and fine. But here's the problem. Individual local school districts can.
Yes, that is the problem.
Okay, and individual school districts, school boards, are by and large being run by a bunch of liberals.
Oh, yeah, more than just by and large, most predominantly. Yes.
So you may not have a statewide mask mandate for kids in schools, but, you know, Perryville and Hooterville and, you know, any other ville you came dare to mention, those school boards could go ahead and say, well, kids in our school district are going to have to wear them.
Right.
You know, and if you don't want your kids wearing a mask 6 hours a day, then keep them home and we'll keep our teachers home and then everybody will be happy. That's how they're going to use this as a weapon.
Yeah, exactly. And then they're going to say, come 2022, we did this to protect your children. BS.
Right, BS. I call BS on that in a flash.
Yes.
Now, there is... I mean,
this whole thing is ridiculous.
There is a spike in cases of COVID going on. And if you look at the map, if you look at a COVID spike map, you will notice that the heaviest concentration of COVID spike cases is where, Diane?
It's in the South, folks, in the southern states, all the way from Florida to Arizona. And there's a reason for that, folks. It's called open borders and illegal immigrants, or I should say illegal aliens, coming through who have COVID, who are COVID positive, and they don't check them. They just send them out across, you know, the South.
Hey, you think about this. Texas, New Mexico, California, Arizona, right? There's a lot of spike cases going on there. You go to the east of Texas, and you know a lot of those immigrants are popping up in Louisiana and Florida and Georgia.
They're popping up here,
Yeah. You know, now, bear this in mind, too, okay? Plane loads of illegal aliens are being shipped around the United States by the U.S. government. They're using our military to do it. We don't know how many of these illegal aliens that are popping into our country over the southern border are coming here with COVID-19. We're not testing them. Our government isn't testing them. Oh, if you work for a company here in this country, you could be forced to be tested on a weekly basis if you don't get inoculated. Okay,
right. And but that's a very serious thing, Craig, because here it is. Well, we have a right to choose if we want to have an abortion or not. But we don't have a right to choose if we want to be jabbed by a vaccine that is not FDA approved, that has not been developed over a period of time like most vaccines take decades, some of them.
Right.
Everything's happened in less than a year and a half. What people need to understand is we are the guinea pigs.
Right.
And those guinea pigs, I'm not one of them, I'm not getting jabbed, but those guinea pigs could end up being lambs to the slaughter.
We just don't know.
Right.
At this point, we really don't. We don't know what the long-term effects of these vaccines are going to be. But when you get down there on the border, we're not vetting these people. We don't know who they are. OK, Okay.
Right.
We're certainly not testing them for COVID, but we're dispersing them throughout the United States. And then, and bear in mind, it's the U.S. government. It's the Biden administration that is dispersing these. The Biden administration flung open the gates at the border, and now they're dispersing illegal aliens with COVID-19 throughout the country. And at the same time, they're complaining, the government, about a spike in COVID cases. Well, where the hell do they think it's coming from?
It's directly coming from the southern border. You know, some people are trying to pass it off as a seasonal reemergence. No, it's an illegal reemergence.
It's plain exactly. And simple. That's exactly what it is. Now, in the few minutes we have left in our COVID chat tonight, and I know the end of our chat on COVID is going to be crushing to Diane because it's her favorite topic in the world. But I want to get this in because, you know, I think this is kind of important. They're now talking about fast-tracking lockdowns again, the liberals. Oh, are, yeah. And blue states and blue cities are drooling over the thought of locking things down again. Okay? And again, if you look at the border, the crisis at the border, and it is a crisis, okay? Consider this. The liberal Marxists in this country want to lock down Americans, but they do not want to lock down the border.
Yeah. Well, you know the reason why. The border gives the Democrats votes. That's all they care about. They don't care about putting American lives in danger as long as they can garner those illegal votes.
100% correct. It really tells you what you need to know. Okay? They're talking about locking you down, ladies and gentlemen. They want to lock you down. They don't want you going out. They don't want you talking with other people. They don't want you gathering in groups. They don't want you having fun. They don't want you to live your life. They don't want your kids in school. They want you to work from home. Okay? All of this, right? And my contacts are telling me this could come about in the next 2 weeks.
Yes.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Now, when you consider all of that, and yet the border's wide open, what the hell is going on here?
Well, you know what? That's why the Second Amendment is so important, guys. Behind every blade of grass, it might eventually come down to that. Do I wish that would happen? No, of course not. But this is carrying it too far. This is no longer a representative government. This is turning into tyranny.
Well, and here's a perfect example of that in the minute and a half we have left in this segment. Nancy Pelosi has ordered Capitol Police to begin arresting visitors and congressional staff members who are not wearing a mask, regardless of whether they've been vaccinated or not, in the House of Representatives. Now, they will not arrest. The order is do not arrest congressmen and congresswomen if they're not masked up, but visitors and staff, if they're not masked, they're arrested. One set of rules for them, another set for the rest of us. That is tyranny.
Absolutely. And, you know, here it is, Pelosi is all, you know, the insurrections hearings, you know, all that nonsense. Who the hell is she to give a mandate? Seriously.
She
doesn't have that power.
I'm just saying.
And yet she's doing it, and they're all marching in lockstep. She doesn't have the power to do this.
Well, she thinks she does, but I'll tell you something.
She thinks she does, yeah.
I'll tell you something, folks. You should be more worried about the Pelosi virus than the COVID virus.
Yeah, absolutely. Remember, COVID virus has a 4 or 7% survival rate. I don't know if we'll survive the Pelosi virus.
That's the thing you got to look out for right now. All right, we've made it to the bottom of the first half of the show. We got 30 minutes to go on the show. Got to take a quick break. Got to get a couple of station IDs in. Diane's going to try to gather up her disappointment that the next part of the show will not be talking about COVID. And we'll take our break and be back with more on Right Side Patriots after this. You're listening to Right Side Patriots Radio, the best in conservative commentary, news, and talk, where we do away with the politically correct nonsense and give you the politically direct truth. This is the home of Right Side Patriots every Tuesday and Friday night from 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern with Craig Andreessen and Diane Sorey. We're working to make this country great again from the right and leaving puddles of melted snowflakes on the left. Thanks for listening to Right Side Patriots, your best bet on the internet.
You're listening to RSPRadio1.com.
Hi guys, Diane Sorey from The Patriot Factor on thepatriotfactor.blogspot.com, where I found a home base 7 years ago after becoming one of Facebook's longtime Facebook felons, or so I've been told by the Facebook gods. On my blog, you will find not only my articles, but our Right Side Patriots investigative reports, as well as stories and links to and from well-known writers and bloggers, plus what I call almost daily memes, my snarky take on news of the day. And for more great takes on the issues of the day, check out the National Patriot at thenationalpatriot.com, where you can read Craig's insight into all the current news happenings. And join us both on Right Side Patriots every Tuesday and Friday night from 7 to 9 p.m. EST at rspradio1.com.
Welcome back to Right Side Patriots on rspradio1.com. Craig Andreessen at the National Patriot and Diane Sorey at the Patriot Factor, getting you through the Friday night edition of the show, July 30th, tonight and tomorrow. That's it for July, and we're into August already.
Well, Christmas decorations will be in
stop.
The stores very
stop.
Soon.
Stop. Stop it. Just stop it. Folks, I got to tell
know,
you.
I know what I say is true.
I got to tell you, folks, during the break, Diane says, I could have gone on for another half hour on COVID. I've got a lot more information on masks and all this. I'm like, Diane, no. You know, look, if you miss any part of the show tonight, it's only an hour show, but I mean, if you miss any part of it, or you want to hear it again, or you want to share it with your friends, easy way to do it, go to rspradio1.com. That's the number one. rspradio1.com. Tomorrow morning, the podcast will be there. Click on the podcast button, become one of the pod people, listen to the show, listen to any of our shows, and share away.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
All works out pretty good. Okay, so the military. The military is going woke. And this should be a big concern to just about everybody, because it does have very serious and very dire national security implications to it. I want to draw people's attention to a U.S. Army general by the name of Patrick Donahoe. Okay. Mm-hmm. Now, this guy, he's pretty far up the ladder, all right? He put out a tweet the other day that some people started to take exception with when it came to vaccinations in the military. Of course, he's all in favor of every single military person being vaccinated, whether or not they've already recovered from COVID and have natural immunity to it, right? And some people started taking exception, to what he put out in his tweet. And he came back and really started taking on one particular person who spoke out against the tweet. And what this shows you is that we've got people very high up the military ladder in this country who are more concerned about being woke than they are about protecting our country.
That's very dangerous. What this wokeism is doing simply is turning our military militarily impotent. They're making our military more concerned about political correctness and hurting somebody's itty-bitty little feelings than they are keeping us the world's premier fighting force.
Right.
They don't care about that anymore.
Right. Now, here's the thing. This guy by the name of Josiah Lippincott, okay, he's a PhD student, by the way, at Hillsdale College, and he's the one that responded to Donahoe, General Donahoe's inane tweet, and Lippincott brought up the suicide rate among military members, and apparently in the fourth quarter of last year, because of all the COVID lockdowns, because of all the canceled leaves and all of that kind of thing, there were 26 more suicides in the fourth quarter of last year than in the fourth quarter of 2019 among right. active military members. So this dork of a general, Donahoe, he goes off on this guy, and he's trying to get this guy shut up. He's trying to tell people to report this guy, this Lippincott guy, to Twitter, get his account canceled and everything else. Now, Diane, you correct me if I'm wrong, but I remember a time in this country when generals in our army were fighting against people trying to take away our rights, and here this general is trying to take away the rights of an American citizen.
Well, that really started happening with Obama.
It did.
You know, it really started there. But it has gotten to the point now where some in our military are fighting back about this wokeism. In fact, one member of the military had a little altercation with his higher up because he objected to that a Black Lives Matter flag was hanging in a naval installation in Africa. He actually told his commander that he was offended and distracted by it because it was in a combat zone. But the commander actually said to him as his response that, oh, Black Lives Matter is not political. It's
what?
Nonpartisan.
What?
We all know that's this is the commander. We all know that's a bunch of BS. But the service member was very astute. He came back at this commander and said, you would not allow me to hang a Donald Trump 2020 election campaign sign because you found that it would be a political statement and cause a lot of offense. Well, that BLM nonsense is an offense to me. You made me take it down. I demand you take the Black Lives Matter flag down.
Good for
him.
The
military is starting to stand up, but not enough at the same time.
Well, it's the rank and file in the military that are standing up. Unfortunately, the military is being run by a bunch of generals like this Donahoe guy. And what about General Milli Vanilli, General Milli? Okay,
God.
I mean, here's a guy who's all about being woke, okay? And he's testified before Congress that he's all about being woke, and he's all about, you know, critical race theory and the fact that our institutions in this country are systemically racist. And, you know, here's a white general sitting there saying, well, you know, I'm white, and I want to understand white rage and white privilege. And it's like, crap. You're
that has
a military
nothing to do
general
with being a fighter.
Right. And
well,
and
you know,
if you're going to be woke and you're going to go off and buy into all this liberal Marxist nonsense, and it is Marxist nonsense, okay? And you're going to be, you know, all about the BLM and Antifa and being woke and systemic racism in this country, which doesn't exist, damn it. And you're going to start taking up the cause of, you know, the 57 genders and all of this crap and this nonsense. What are you going to do when a country attacks us, that their people look different than the majority of our people. What are you going to do? You're not going to fight them because all the while that, you know, we don't want to, you know, show our white privilege? What the hell?
Yeah, well, it's gotten to the point now our some of our senators are getting involved. One of them was Arkansas Senator Cotton, and he's ex-military, folks. He actually confronted Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin at a Senate Armed Services Committee hearing, and he told him that he has gotten personally several hundred whistleblower complaints since Biden took office and claimed that people are now leaving the military because of training that's now being based upon critical race theory. I mean, this is nonsense. What the hell does critical race theory have to do with America's fighting forces?
Well, you have to be apologetic if you're white. You know, because...
Sorry,
you know,
I ain't apologizing for being white.
Apparently, there are no atheists in foxholes, but the foxholes are full of systemically racist, white, privileged asses.
Yeah. Yeah, well, you heard the old saying that when your life is on the line and you're in the foxhole, there are no more atheists.
That's why I say there's no atheists in foxholes.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. And it's just the same. If you don't think there's prayer in schools, you haven't been around a school at finals week.
That's very true.
Okay.
Very true.
You know,
this
critical
race theory is basically a way to teach hate of the white race, and it also is making racists out of people who were never racists before. Black racists who were never racists against whites are now so, and whites who were never racists against blacks can't stand this crap anymore, and they are actually becoming racists in a different way, but still, you know, we're sick of this black nonsense already.
It's crazy. It's crazy.
It is crazy.
The military has a job, and that is protecting the United States, protecting freedom for others around the world. It's got nothing to do with
the Constitution.
Yeah, it's got nothing to do with the color of anybody's skin, okay? If somebody is trying to kill people who are seeking freedom or take people's freedoms away or, you know, God forbid, there's another country that's attacking our country, okay? The job of our military is putting an end to that crap.
Right.
All right? But if they're going to have to check and double check and triple check, and they can't open fire on anybody that's not as white as a Scotsman in the middle of winter, you know, I mean, holy crap. What good is our military?
Let me add one little thing before we go to the next segment. Okay, what a lot of these people are complaining about is percentages of blacks in the military. That, you know, it's overwhelmingly white. There are barely 2% of blacks in the military, whatever. Okay, there's a reason for that. Only 12.8% of the population is black.
Right.
Okay, there is going to be more white people in the military than black people because blacks are a minority. It's not a minority because we're being racist against black people. It's just because there are more white people than there are black people.
But Diane,
so how can you raise these numbers in the military when they're not raised within the minority population itself?
Well, because Diane, it's all a mathematical equation to the liberals. If the U.S. is 12% black population, then there should be 12% black people in the military. Okay.
No, they want more.
Well, I don't care what they want.
We have to make up for slavery. So the blacks have to outnumber the whites. It's not going to happen.
Wait a minute. Our military is all volunteer.
Correct.
Okay, so everybody of every color has the equal opportunity to volunteer to be in the military. Now, unless the government intends to change that in order to get more black people in the military, guess what's going to happen? Okay. Then you're going to have liberals advocating drafting more black people into the military than white people just to get the numbers up.
You can't have a draft just for one group. It would have to be bring back the draft, which will not sit well.
Yes, but the point is, Diane, they will draft more black people than they will white people.
Well, in order to get the
Well, yes, but that's the liberal conundrum. Okay,
yes.
Liberalism, the Democrat Party, that is the party of racism, and guess what? They're gonna go on a racist drive to try and get more black people into the military. Okay, and they're gonna say, well, this is gonna be to end racism. No, it's gonna be because of racism.
Right.
These people are idiots. These people are idiots. Look, if black people want to volunteer for the military, fine. If they don't,
no one's stopping them.
Right.
But their numbers are never going to be the same because they are a minority population versus a majority population. They're treated the same once they're in the military. I have never seen racism per se in the military. Those who go into the military, we like to believe, are all there because they want to serve their country, no matter the color of their skin.
You know, look, without wokeism, we could have the greatest military in the world. With wokeism, our military is useless.
Correct.
I mean, it's just plain and simple. All right, so we got little less than 15 minutes left in the show, and there's one other topic that Diane and I wanted to discuss a little bit tonight, and that is the January 6th Insurrection Inquisition.
The joke, the waste of our time and money, that's what really this is, folks. This is a Pelosi-driven witch hunt because they cannot let go of President Trump. And you know what that says? That means that President Trump still holds power over them. They are so laser focused on destroying this man. It's a sickness.
It is. It's a mental condition.
It's a sickness.
You know? Now, here's the deal. The Republicans wanted Jim Jordan, and I can't remember the other congressman's name. But there's two specific congressmen they wanted on that commission, that January 6th commission. Jim Jordan was one of them. Nancy Pelosi said, oh, no, absolutely not. We're not going to have it. You know, they got Adam Schiff on there, right? They got Cheney, Liz Cheney on there, right? They got everybody.
Trump haters.
Yeah, everybody on there is a Trump hater. Every one of them.
Right.
Okay. But they weren't going to have Jim Jordan on there or this other congressman. Folks, I apologize. I just cannot think of his name right now. We're doing this whole show without notes. So, but they didn't want them on there because they knew the kind of questions. And let's use Jim Jordan as our prime example. They knew the kind of questions that Jim Jordan was going to ask. And one of the primary questions that America deserves the answer to is why was the Capitol not protected on January 6th, even though there were prior warnings given to the FBI and given to Nancy Pelosi? And by the way, Nancy Pelosi is in charge of securing the Capitol.
Right.
Okay. So there's prior knowledge. They knew this was a planned event. There on January 4th and 5th, there were four busloads of Antifa and BLM people brought in specifically into Washington, D.C., busloads of them.
To cause trouble.
There were weapons and pipe bombs and things planted around D.C. prior to January 6th. And yet the liberals say Trump brought this insurrection about with his words on January 6th. Well, we know that's not true because we can watch the tape and read the transcript.
Well, Pelosi's little plot here is starting to backfire because the percentage of both Republicans and Democrats who believe that President Trump was the cause of the people behaving badly, shall we say, because this was no insurrection, has plummeted and continues going down, down, down. Those who at one time believed that President Trump was the cause was about at 68%, I believe. It's now down to under 55%.
Yeah, and it continues to fall, as you said.
Yeah. Yes.
Okay, so you get to January 6th, right? Trump's mm-hmm. out there giving this big speech. He's got this big rally going. Gives this big speech. During the speech, the only time he tells people they should go to the Capitol, he tells them they should march peacefully and patriotically yes. to the Capitol to allow their voices to be heard. All right.
Yes.
Now, that is hardly inciting an insurrection.
No. Okay. What's inciting an insurrection is Nancy Pelosi's, what was it, nephew or son-in-law being
son-in-law.
There causing trouble.
The son-in-law was hanging outside the Capitol building with the guy in the buffalo hat.
Exactly.
Okay.
They were coordinating.
Mm-hmm. Now, so you got all this prior knowledge that things could get rough. President Trump actually contacted Pelosi in the days leading up to January 6th and said, look, we've got intel. The FBI has provided us with intel that there may be trouble on January 6th, and you need to take some steps to avert this. Well, you know, if Donald Trump says, you know, secure the Capitol, they're going to do just the opposite because Donald Trump told them to. Okay?
Yeah.
But Nancy Pelosi, Speaker of the House, she's in charge. Okay? She ignored the FBI. She ignored Donald Trump. And when trouble mm-hmm. did break out on January 6th, she delayed calling in backup security and the National Guard. Why?
Yeah. Yeah.
Why?
Why? Because she knew ahead of time what was going to happen.
Exactly.
They all knew what was going to happen.
Exactly. And that is the type of questions that Jim Jordan was set to ask. And the Nancy Pelosi will be damned if Nancy Pelosi winds up being indicted for not doing anything.
For not doing her job. Well, it kind of says it all. This was the statement that she made, okay? With respect for the integrity of the investigation, with an insistence on the truth, and with concern about statements made and actions taken by these members, I must reject the recommendations of Representative Banks and Jordan to the Select
Banks.
Committee. The unprecedented nature of January 6th demands this unprecedented decision. No, Nancy, you are responsible for January 6th. You knew it. Your lack of actions actually helped orchestrate it. You should be on trial, you know, if you will, for what happened on January 6th.
Not only did they kick Banks, that's the guy whose name I couldn't remember, not only did they kick Banks and Jim Jordan off that committee, wouldn't allow them to be on that committee, all right? Nancy Pelosi also let it be known that no questions could be asked about her role when it came to not securing the Capitol, all right? So that's all part of this. Now, let's look at yet a different aspect of what took place on January 6th and this, what I call the Insurrection Inquisition. They had the first day of testimony in the Inquisition a couple of days ago. Bear in mind, mm-hmm. there is nobody on the House committee, the January 6th committee, that is not an avid, drooling Trump hater. Okay? Mm-hmm. And they bring in a parade of Capitol police officers. And these Capitol cops are coming in there. One of them that was in there blaming Trump and blaming this and blaming is also a BLM member, one of these Capitol cops. So keep that in mind. Okay? There were tears being shed. And one Trump-hating Republican, who Rhino, who was on that committee, he was in tears, absolute tears. He was just sobbing almost uncontrollably in that hearing. Oh, my God, we thought we were going to die. Well, the only person that died as a result of any act of violence in that entire January 6th, quote-unquote, insurrection was Ashley Babbitt, an unarmed U.S. Air Force veteran who was shot and killed by a Capitol Police officer who they, A, refused to name, and B, refused to charge.
Yeah. This whole thing is a dog and pony show, folks. It's to protect Pelosi and crew, who probably orchestrated the whole thing, who her lack of actions in securing the Capitol allowed it to go on. She was warned ahead of time by President Trump that there could be issues. She let it happen. Nancy Pelosi herself is the one who should be up there being charged with the so-called riots and insurrection of January 6th. And where does she get to decide on a committee that's supposed to be impartial to Democrats, to Republicans? Why is she the picker of who can sit there, what questions can and cannot be asked? This is a witch hunt. That's all it is.
That's all it is. She's the Speaker of the House, therefore. She's the one in power because this is all taking place in the House of Representatives. But right. Diane, you right. called this a dog and pony show, and you're absolutely right. It is a dog and pony show, but do you know how you can tell proof positive that this is a dog and pony show?
Uh-oh, I'm waiting for some snark. Okay.
You know me all too well.
Yes.
You can tell this is a dog and pony show, ladies and gentlemen, because it's being run by a horse-faced bitch.
That's a good one. That's
all right.
That's a good one.
I mean, this is crazy. It's kangaroo court at its best. It's kabuki theater. I don't care what you want to call it. Dog and pony show, kabuki theater. This is crazy. You know, they're not. Look, the outcome of what this committee is going to find was determined before the committee ever met.
Of course. Of course. And now they're getting ready to have subpoenas.
Subpoena who?
The people being subpoenaed are the ones that hate President Trump.
Exactly.
Love Pelosi and will bow down to the altar of the almighty Democrats. This is not an impartial hearing.
Of course not. That's why I call it the Inquisition.
I call it the witch hunt because she is a witch.
You know, folks, read up on your history. You know, look at the Spanish Inquisition. Well, yeah, that was fair and impartial.
Right.
You know, well, that's what you got going on here. You know, same thing, you know, just you know, a few hundred years, you know, down the road. But that's what you got here. And it's insanity what's going on there. The Republicans are right to just ignore the whole thing. But I tell you something, Diane, I think the more these liberal Marxists squeak, squawk, bitch, piss, and moan about this, the worse they're going to look.
Well, the numbers who originally thought that President Trump was the cause are going down by the day. So that says a lot right, you know, right here. I think where Pelosi really hung herself on this was when she didn't allow Jordan and
Banks.
We both forgot the other guy's
Banks.
Name. Yeah.
Banks.
Banks, yeah. When she did not allow the Republicans' pick. That says a lot right there. That says it's all about control and cover-ups. That's what the Democrats are about, control and cover-ups. This 100%. Is just another one of their, you know, talking points, basically.
It is propaganda at its best. Diane, yes. What do you have in store for us coming up on Tuesday for the show?
Oh, on Tuesday, let's just say, well, maybe I should give the title.
Okay.
DOJ investigation, DOA.
Okay. And I'm going to go snark on Biden.
No title yet, huh?
No title yet.
I know you will.
I've got another day to figure that out. So,
right.
But yeah, and then we've both got some stuff that we're working on for the Tuesday after that. You know, we're kind of in an endless loop here when it comes to topics in the news right now. But we're finding ways to get information, and we're getting it to you as best we can. Diane through her blog at thepatriotfactor.blogspot.com, me from my blog, thenationalpatriot.com, and the two of us together on Right Side Patriots, rspradio1.com.
Yes.
But now, with that, Diane...
You know, you've got to understand, all we're hearing about now in the news cycle, it's two things, COVID and insurrection. That's our news.
That's it. Endless loop. It's like Groundhog's Day all over again.
Yes.
Well, Diane, we've come to the end of the show. What do you think?
I think so. So I'm going to say nighty-night, guys.
Good night, everybody. Have a great weekend, and we'll be back on Tuesday.